time for your SportsEdge.com sideline report with Todd Griffin. Talking sports and more here on 1580 103.3 WPKY and worldwide at WPKYonline.com. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
Good morning, everyone. The sideline report is on the air from 1035 West Main Street in Princeton. This is Todd Griffin of WPKY Radio and your SportsEdge.com. Thanks a lot for tuning in this morning. Starting the show off this morning with a couple of former Tiger baseball players in the studio with us, Tate Van Hoosier and Bryce Thomas sitting in with us this morning. And first of all, I'm going to let you guys tell everybody where you're headed. Tate, first of all, tell us where you're going to go.
I was at Rin Lake this past year as a freshman, and due to a coaching change, I'm going to Motlow State. It's another JUCO in Tennessee, so we'll have one year left remaining there at JUCO.
All right, Bryce, where are you headed?
I'm going to Spring Hill College. It's a Division II school in Mobile, Alabama.
And you say you still have 2 years you could play if you wanted to?
Well, I have 2 years of eligibility, but I'll graduate in the spring, and okay. Mom wants me to get to work.
I got you. Tate, what's kind of your plans? You'll be a sophomore?
Yeah, well, I have 1 year left of JUCO left, so just kind of play out how that goes and see where it takes me after this year and how I do and just kind of go from there.
How did you end up with Motlow State?
Like I said, a coaching change happened, and I was just kind of waiting around, and we didn't have a coach, and I was still in contact with my coach that left, and just kind of asking him, what should I do? And he was like, why not put yourself out there right now? Post a few videos on the internet of you, like your stats and stuff. So I did that, and I had a couple teams hit me up, and a couple guys on Twitter that kind of do recruiting stuff for Kentucky baseball a little bit, and got me to talking to a couple schools, and kind of went from there. And a couple schools gave me a couple offers that kind of matched Rin Lake offer, but it is what it is, and they took forever to hire a coach, and I was getting tired of sitting around, so I made a decision to go to Motlow. Good guys, and two guys from Rin Lake are actually going with me. And a kid from McCracken County that was at EKU this year, so I know. So I'll be living with them. But, yeah, that's how it kind of played out right there. But I'm excited, and I can't wait to get down there.
Maybe a lot of people don't know a lot about Motlow State. What did you know about it before you headed down that way?
Not very much. But Jace Ryan, he actually talked to them when Rin Lake had another coaching change 2 years ago. So I kind of knew a little bit through him. And like you said, Jamie Jackson went down there and played.
Yeah, basketball.
Yeah, mom coached her. So a little bit in with that aspect, but I didn't really know where it was. Yeah. Or I knew they were green and yellow, but other than that, I didn't really know other than that. But the coach has been there for 10 to 12 years, so he has a lot of connections, and that's big and plays a big vital role with the JUCO level. That's the whole point of trying to get out of there. So that was a big decision. Like I said, he's been there for 10 to 12 years, so has a lot of connections.
Yeah. One thing about Motlow, they play in a really tough conference.
Right, yeah, because Walter State was number one in the country all year this year. They ended up going to the World Series and finishing like third or fourth, but we actually played them this year, and that's top five, one of the best teams, probably the best team I've ever played ever. JUCO's Bryce can back me up on this one. JUCO is a different level of baseball. You can play a team that's could beat a Division I team any day of the week. You can play a team that could play the D2, D3, NAIA level. But the level of JUCO is insane, and I think some people kind of back down on it sometimes. But JUCO it's starting to be the way to go because, COVID, like we were talking about all ago, which kind of messed up everybody's years of eligibility and stuff like that. But Walter State was just I think they're preseason ranked number one again this year.
Yeah.
But, they're just unreal. And I was talking to my dad at the game, and he was like, they could put a good lineup up and play against anybody in the country, Power 5, mid-major. So, it's crazy how good they were. And that's another reason why I made the decision, because it's really good exposure-wise in that conference. So,
well, when you go JUCO, you really give yourself a lot of options.
Right, for sure. And then high school, I kind of got – screwed a little bit because of a COVID year, and that's kind of your junior year of baseball, you get recruited the most. So, and that was my year of getting COVID, and coaches couldn't come out during summer ball because it's kind of like a lockout thing. So, JUCO, everything happened for a reason. So I went JUCO, and I think it was the best fit for me, and Redmond Lake was a really good year, and we could have said another one, but, you know, it is what it is, and everything happens for a reason, but, you know, I'm excited where I'm going.
Bryce, what is it about Wren Lake? It seems like we've had a ton of people end up at Wren Lake, and like I said, it's a great starting point because all of you guys have ended up at other places.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a good spot to go, but when you go there, you're going there for the sport you're going for. Like, there's a McDonald's and a gas station. So, like, you can't really lose focus on what you're trying to do. I mean, Jay, like, we've had five guys, I think, now.
Yeah.
And then Shaden went for volleyball. So, like, school's super easy. You just focus on your sport, and it's just it's worked out for us so far.
You spent some time at Northern Kentucky and now going to Spring Hill. What kind of led you to Spring Hill College?
I entered my name in the transfer portal, and I think there was, like, 50,000 names, or that might be a stretch, but there was, like, a lot of names in the portal at one time. And so, like, you put your name in there, and it's, like, instantly, like, people are texting you and stuff. But I had connections through Coach Walker at Spring Hill because of Jason Tate, because he was at Wren Lake coaching them last year. But a big factor in that was, honestly, I'm going to be on the beach.
Yeah.
Warm weather all the time, so I'm definitely looking forward to it.
And it's NCAA Division II school.
Yes, sir.
So you say you're going to try to play one more year there for sure. What did have they talked to you about how they plan to use you or anything?
Probably the same I've been my whole career, just bounce around where they need me, pitch a little, and just be like a speed guy.
The ultimate utility guy.
Some say that, yes, sir.
Tate, Motlow wants you to hit home runs.
Yeah, I mean, that's a plan, I hope. But, you know, we talked a little bit. I can play corner infield, corner outfield. It's kind of what they like about me. And so it's kind of just where a weak spot is. I mean, I'm going to be a primary first baseman. But, I mean, if there's a weak spot, if I can help the team out in outfield, if someone else can play first base, you know, I'm going to do that. You know, whether it's DH or first base, third base, right foot or left field. But, you know, I'm there to hit. Yeah. So, at the end of the day.
A DH would be nice.
Yeah.
Well, we talked about Wren Lake and how many Tigers have ended up there. Well, Jace Ryan Felker is still playing. He's at UK. Noah Brown,
Still
playing.
Yeah, was there. And then he's at Asbury.
Asbury, yep.
So,
Cody Hullup, he's still playing.
Yeah.
I think Cody's team is in my conference.
Really?
I think so.
That'll be interesting then.
Where's that school at? I know it's in Kentucky.
Kentucky Christian.
Eastern Kentucky.
Yeah, it's the other end of the state. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think they are. I don't know if we come up here or they go down there, but we'll probably
play. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
But what is it about Wren Lake that kind of gets you guys ready to go on and to bigger and better things?
I think, you know, just when Jace Ryan and Bryce and Noah got there, they kind of set a good example for guys around here. And, you know, they did so good. And up there, it kind of, like I said, set a good example for us. And now on, like, you can just ask Jace Ryan or Bryce or Noah. Like, the coach asks them, yeah, what about this kid? What about that kid? The coach is going to trust them because they trusted them all up there 1 or 2 years. But, I mean, I played for a different coach than Jason Ryan and Bryce. But Jason Ryan played for I played the same coach as him for 1 year. And then, but it's just kind of – when you know people that have been up there, it's easier because you know the ropes, you know other people. So, and a couple of people from Western Kentucky have been – I've been like a couple of kids from Henderson County, a kid from Trigg County. So it kind of helped that way too, kind of jumpstart to know somebody. But
we're talking this morning with former Tigers Tate Van Hoosier and Bryce Thomas. And do you guys keep up with each other when you're at whatever school?
For sure. Me, Jace Ryan, Bryce, and Noah always have a group chat going. And when somebody hits a home run, we send it in there just to kind of smear it in the face a little bit. But we definitely keep up with each other a lot.
I would say the biggest thing about going JUCO that helped me was, like, when you go to D1 or D2 or whatever, there's, like, restrictions on practices and classes and stuff. Lips. But when we were there, it was, like, wake up at 5, you got lifts in the morning, you go to class for, like, an hour, and then you practice for, like literally, like, 5 or 6 hours. And, like, when you get to – when I went to NKU, like – we had practiced for an hour, and I'd be like, why are we stopping? Because, like, I wasn't used to it.
Yeah.
But I would just say the stuff they put you through, or that my coach put us through at JUCO, like, it's way harder than anything else I've ever had to do.
When they say that cliche saying, JUCO's a grind, it literally is a grind.
Yeah, it definitely makes you mature fast.
So was that the biggest change you guys had to kind of figure out going from high school to college?
Yeah, but I think Coach Allen's kind of set that up for us, kind of in a way, because I mean Coach Allen's pushed us to where we want to be pushed, and same way as in the weight room with anybody, Coach Riley or anything, kind of set us up for that aspect in that way of either conditioning or lifting or the practice standpoint of it. But other than that, yeah, I mean we were kind of ready for it, but it was definitely a big change though from the high school level, the JUCO level, but that's any level from high school to college.
Yeah.
But, and I'm like Bryce said, it's a big difference between JUCO and Division One or Division Two. So,
my biggest struggle was just like learning to deal with struggles. Cause in high school, like, I'm not saying it's easy, but if you go play college, it's probably easier for you than other kids. But going there, you just got to learn, you got to become mentally tough, I guess.
When you guys look back on the high school teams that you were on, now that you're not on them, you had some time to kind of think about it. How good were those teams?
Unreal.
We could have. I know Coach Mack will argue this, but they would not beat us.
Yeah, we've had plenty of arguments. My dad and Donald, Coach Mack's team, was it 92?
91.
91. Yeah. They said they would have beat us.
Who was their ace?
Cotton or no?
Eric Lamb.
Yeah, Lamb and yeah. Cotton. But I don't care. You put
Shane
Burns on the mound, I'll play anybody in the region. Thanks. But I don't know. It was
super fun.
You're all senior year. Jace Rhines, Bryce, Dylan Gray, Ty Ramey, Noah. I know I'm missing probably a person, but that year was fun, and we fell short to a really good Union County team. But it was that year was just fun. I mean, we had a target on our back all year. Everybody wanted to beat us, so that was fun. Every game kind of meant something that year, because
yeah.
I mean everybody was out to get us, because we had, like we said, we had Shane on the mound, we had Jason Ryan and Bryce in the lineup, everybody, and they've been playing for since they were eighth graders, so everybody wanted to beat us that year, and that year was kind of really fun. But I mean, you know, we fell short in the beginning, but you know, like I said, it is what it is. Baseball yeah. Baseball doesn't roll your way a lot. In that game it didn't roll away, and I think, you know, that's probably the mass I've ever seen Coach Downs ever get at an umpire or anything, when that ball hit that kid in the leg when he was running to third base. But baseball doesn't roll your way sometimes, and wasn't meant to be. But
well, you play them again the next day, and you might beat them.
I mean, yeah, that's just part like of it. Kind of the next year was Breyer and Gabe senior year. We ended up beating them. Those
in the first round.
Yeah, they had Coy Burns and Cade. That was really good. They were all like sophomores. They were juniors that year when Bryce and them were seniors, and you know they were kind of youngest. We were a veteran team, and they ended up beating us. But then the next year, we kind of got we got to get back at them. So it kind of felt pretty good. But
Bryce, what have you been working on this summer to get ready to go to Spring Hill?
Honestly, just working out and hitting. I mean, when I'm not doing my summer job, but just that's it, and trying to get my classes scheduled so I can graduate on time and all that.
Tate, I know you got to play some this summer.
Yeah, I played in a collegiate league down in Myrtle Beach. It was really fun. We played pretty much every day, and you know, I was pretty satisfied the way it turned out when I played. So, you know, when you play summer baseball, it's about getting ABs. It's about getting better and getting more reps, because some people in college may not have got as many reps as others, but, you know, you always want to win every game you can. But, I mean, but summertime is more about reps and more about seeing pitches and different people and different – and having a good time. Summer ball, Bryce can vouch for me on this one. Summer ball is great. You don't got to worry about school. You just relax, playing, and, you know, that's what's fun about it.
How do you even find out about the Myrtle Beach League?
You know – your coaches in college kind of put you in a place or ask you, you know, they'll pull you in sometime in the fall and like, do you want to play for a month? Do you want to play all summer? Do you want to – just kind of those questions right there. And, you know, it kind of – they were pulling all of us in, and I kind of only wanted to play for a month. And so they looked around for some leagues and found that Myrtle Beach League, and it was perfect.
Because Jace Ryan is playing in the Coastal Plains.
Yeah.
I'd never heard of that one.
Yeah, we actually – my league actually played a team in the Coastal Plains. So it's a really – that's a really fun league because of Bananas in that league. Yeah. And
the Savannah Bananas.
Yeah, yeah. That's crazy.
You know, I thought that, like, their summer team was the one that did all the trick stuff. And they have a team that
– like a minor league team.
That kind plays of there.
Independent ball.
Yeah.
But,
Well, do you have any good stories from over the summer from Myrtle Beach League?
No, not really.
Probably can't say them, can you?
No, not really. It was just...
Well, I know you had one teammate that was kind of famous, at least his dad was.
Yeah, I did play with Carter Vrabel, the son of the head coach Titans. That was pretty cool. But I kind of already knew him a little bit through summer ball and stuff. So a kid from McCracken County played with me this summer, which he played with Carter at college. They play at Volunteer State in Nashville, in JUCO. So I already kind of knew him that level, but it was pretty cool to kind of experience the life he lives. But.
Did you get to meet the head coach?
I did, yes, I did.
Well, that's all pretty cool then.
It is, yes, very cool.
Tell him about the golf course.
Yeah, it's... Played a pretty cool golf course with him.
So really? What kind of golf course
did they have? It was Richland Country Club in Nashville. Yeah. Unreal. Really nice.
Well, as you look through all the games you guys have played, you've played a bunch of them, what's maybe one of the most interesting stadiums, one of your favorite ball fields to play at?
I've been talking, Bryce. You can kind of go. I'll back it up.
It's a tough question.
I'm going to say the best one is probably Whitaker.
Yeah.
Just because you know why you're there. Yeah. But,
playing at Brooks Stadium is always pretty cool.
I like Lipscomb's field a lot.
Yeah.
It's just like, because that's one of the few fields that's actually like dirt and grass.
Yeah.
But I would say Lipscomb's probably one of my favorites.
In high school, you know, like Bryce said, Whitaker Bank was unmatched. Whether we were playing all A state or playing at regular state, because you knew why you were there. You knew you worked all year, you worked your butt off all year to get there. So it meant something playing there. I mean, playing like different high schools around here was fun. Like playing Hopkinsville is always pretty nice because they have a nice field. Like I said, Brooks Stadium's nice. But Whitaker Bank's just unmatched. Yeah. But and like now it's a Kentucky Proud Park, isn't it?
Yeah. Thoughts well, no, that's the UK field, right?
Yeah.
Kentucky Proud's UK.
Yeah.
And
it's the state tournament there now, though, isn't
it? Yeah. Thinking back, though, I mean, what's maybe a favorite memory from you guys going to state? Of course, the tough draws both years.
Yeah.
I mean, you get,
I'd say the all-A run we made was fun. Yeah. That was really fun. But, you know, once again, the ball didn't roll our way that game. But I think that was a fun week, fun 4 days right there because – I mean, it was just – how many games do we play? I know we played two games in one day.
Right. They were like one-run games.
Yeah, we played. And that was fun, those four games right there. And obviously, I mean, going to state every time, wishing we could have won more at a real state. But it is. It's just I don't know. All A we're playing, that's a whole other topic we can get into, 1A, 2A, classifying sports. But
– oh, yeah, that could be a whole show.
Oh, my. It could go on for days. But – I don't know. But, I mean, always the regional tournament was always fun because, like I said, we had Caldwell County, we had Coach Allen's inside all the time. Like, we had a target on our back every day when we were playing. But everyone wants to beat Caldwell County, yeah. Everybody. But, I mean, sometimes they beat us, sometimes they don't. But
well, as far as Motlow State goes, what do you want to accomplish while you're there and what's maybe next after that?
Be a better person, but leave that place with a better person, a better attitude, a better young man, obviously a better baseball player. But, I mean, I'm trying to go to the highest level I can after that. And if it doesn't work out where I wanted to go, then it doesn't work out. But, I mean, I always want to play college baseball after that, whether I join Bryce over here at Spring Hill or or I go somewhere else. But, you know, it's just baseball is getting – is getting seen at the right time.
Yeah.
And you could go 0-4 one day, 0-2 the next, and 0-4 the next, and then go 4-4 with two home runs and two doubles, and a coach is sitting over there watching you, and they're all for you. So, yeah. I mean, it's just getting seen at the right time. And that's any sport, though.
Yeah.
But baseball is really key in that aspect of it. So just getting seen at the right time is really big. And like we talked about, that conference down there is really good on exposure-wise. So hopefully there'll be a lot of good coaching the scouts of a lot of the games.
Bryce, what do you want to accomplish at Spring Hill?
Honestly, I didn't get to play last year, so I know this is probably going to be my last year playing, so just soak it all in, honestly. Yeah. Just have as much fun as I can with it.
He's getting old.
Yeah. But honestly, that. I just want to have fun with it, make new friends down there, have fun on the beach. But, yeah.
It sounds rough, yeah.
Rough life. I can't wait.
Best of luck to you guys. Anything else you want to add?
Nope.
Do well.
Thank you. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, it's always fun to keep up with everyone. I always, you know, try to see who's got the home runs and who's got the big game. So,
yeah, I know.
You know, put up some big numbers.
Yeah, I was talking to James Ryan the other day. He texted me a home run, and I sent back, I have six.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think I ended up in like five or six this summer. I think he has like three or four right now. That just kind of me, Jason, Bryce, and Noah kind of keep up with each other.
If there's a home run hit, it's getting
posted in the group chat for sure. Everybody's all four of us are going to know about it. You're going to let them know about it.
Well, good luck to you guys next season.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for having us.
That's Tate Van Hoosier and Bryce Thomas. Appreciate them coming in this morning. Stay tuned. More to come on the Sideline Report right after this here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Get into shape and feel good at Trilogy Performance Sports. Trilogy offers a wide range of family-friendly classes as well as personal training, yoga, gymnastics, sports training, cardio, and weightlifting. Trilogy has something for everyone. Trilogy now offers an app with online workouts, live classes, nutrition tracking, and more. Search Trilogy Performance Sports in your app store. Use sign-up code 1824. For app info and more, follow them on Facebook. At Tricios, they're ordering it your way. How would you like to have a vehicle built just for you? Little things are important, like rich colors, big screens and displays, almost like watching TV. Exteriors with beautiful style and powerful engines that respond to the lightest touch on the accelerator. It's time to get what you want. Order your new ride and feel the thrill when you drive off the lot. Tricios in Princeton is the one-stop shop for everything your vehicle needs. For more information, visit tricios.com. That's tricios.com.
Imagine this. It's late at night, it's cold and dark, and you have a flat tire. One never knows when old Bessie's going to cause you problems. There's only one place to call, Wallace Towing and Recovery in Princeton. Wallace Towing and Recovery is a 24/7 towing and recovery service. You can count on Wallace Towing and Recovery to get you safe and back on the road or to a repair shop. Wallace Towing and Recovery will jumpstart your vehicle, change a tire, deliver gas, unlock a door, or haul to the garage or scrapyard. Wallace Towing and Recovery has you covered in Princeton and surrounding areas. Call Wallace Towing and Recovery. Check them out on Facebook, and when you need a tow or roadside help, call Wallace Towing and Recovery at 270-963-9081.
Black Pipes Grill is a bar and grill with a twist. Come in and try authentic Irish fare or your favorite Southern comforts. Wednesday is burger night. Go to our Facebook page and vote for your favorite burger every week and check out our daily specials. Whatever your taste buds are craving, Black Pipes Grill has just what you want and will provide the perfect drink and dessert to top off the perfect meal. At Black Pipes Grill, the only problem you'll have is deciding what to order. Black Pipes Grill, Southern fare with an Irish flair on Main Street, Princeton. Chucky Arla.
Beat the heat of summer by entering the Dog Days of Summer Sweepstakes, brought to you by the Country Barn Garden and Farm Market and the Country Boy Cafe. You might just win a cool $350 shopping spree to make summer feel a lot better. Hurry to WPKYonline.com and enter today. Contest ends July 25th.
Words you will never see or hear with your SportsEdge.com.
For subscribers only.
To report, you must subscribe.
What you will hear and see is award-winning sports coverage.
Your two-time winner of the Kentucky Broadcaster's Best Digital Product.
Your SportsEdge.com.
Back on the Sideline Report at 1580, 103.3 WPKY. Again, good morning. Thanks for tuning in today. Busy show. Thanks to Tate Van Hoosier and Bryce Thomas for coming in and talking some baseball with us, and good luck to those guys as they get ready to head back to college. Joining us now on the show is Caldwell County Middle School football coach Steve Cookie Hicko. And Steve, you wear a lot of hats, and now it's time for football season.
It is. It's a good time to have right now, Todd, and I'm excited for it anyway, in certain ways.
Well, how quickly do you guys get going? When does the season start?
Well, I mean, obviously we could have started last week in preparation for this year's season, but I gave the kids another a week off for vacation time, whatever it is. And so we started back this week, like I told you all ago, and thank you for allowing me to come on this morning. I've tried every way I can think of, you know, us and the coaches, of getting more kids to come out. And right now we're really struggling in our middle school program. Our eighth grade class, we've got a good number in it. We're holding around 18 to 20, which normally is the number that we try to have in each class. The seventh grade class is the one that we've reached out so many different ways. I've had an early parent meeting before the season even started and tried to see what our numbers would be, and it's declining. Right now, in our program, we have 9 to 10 seventh graders, and that's it.
And that's not enough for a team.
That's not enough for a team. Yeah. And I hate it for those young men, and we tried to tell them on different occasions that, again, they can always play up, but those kids, regardless of whatever their teammates in the past in junior pro are not playing, and we've of the probably 9 or 10 kids, we've got 3 that have never played before. So it's kind of like starting in junior pro in the third grade,
yeah,
and building. And so it's tough right now. I mean, especially as a coach, you hope they have some type of recognition, where to line up and this and that. And I know that being around it for a few years, that it's frustrating. And but we're doing everything we can possibly to have a seventh grade team to play other teams. But right now we're struggling.
Well, that was a smaller group coming through the junior pro ranks anyway, right?
I think so. I think Coach Enos and Coach Rogers have told me that last year when or 2 years ago when they were in junior pro coaching, that the numbers weren't very big. And, you know, obviously with other sports going on, you know, kids are maybe starting to choose which one to be better. Plus, you know, the heat is a major factor in a lot of them. They don't want to get out there and throw the equipment on, and it kind of puts a downfall on the program. So,
well, right now, if anybody wants to come out and play, they're still welcome.
Oh, yes. I mean, you know, we encourage everybody. I mean, a lot of times, you know, in off season, I would see somebody, or I'd make gender up to the school and just walk around and see a couple of kids that I've never seen before. And I don't know what you would want to call that. I have a word in mind, but I'd ask them, have you ever played football before? And they said, no. I said, well, I'm going to ask you one thing. Just come out and try it, because you'll never know if you're going to like the sport or not. Just try it one time. And if you don't like it, that's fine. At least you say you did.
One of the cool things I always thought was that the middle school team's down there practicing right by the high school team.
Yeah.
So you can kind of look ahead and see the high school guys down there practicing.
You can. And like I said, with a schedule, with an incoming eighth grade team that we have this year, we ventured out and picked up a couple of more teams that are on our high school schedule. And we've tried to work in a team like Mayfield for the last several years. We've never Coach Morris and I have talked a little bit trying to get them on our schedule. Well, this year we get them. So, and that's good. I mean, you know, we're trying to develop the kids for the next level. But obviously, somewhere down the line, you want to throw in a little bit of winning. And these eighth grade class, last year's eighth grade class, which are freshmen, they're talented. They're two talented groups, and hopefully they can stay with it.
Well, some of those young kids are going to play some on the high school team this year.
I haven't really talked to the high school coaches. I'm sure there's probably 2 or 3 that could probably step on and fill a role every now and then, regardless of who's playing where and what positions they need filled. But, yeah, there's some pretty good kids in that grade.
Well, hopefully you'll get some kids out and can rustle some up, and we can have a seventh grade team this
well,
year.
Well, and that's one of the things. I want to encourage anybody listening to the program this morning. If you got a child that would like to play, regardless they're going in eighth grade or seventh grade, you just need to be enrolled in Caldwell County School. You need to go down there and do all the paperwork on that and then come out, because the way the protocol is now, you got to practice so many days before you're released to even play a game. And right now, we're probably I'm not sure if I gave you a schedule yet, but I'll get you one.
Okay.
We've got 11-game schedule, or 10 games, and we've got a bowl game we're playing in. So we want to take the opportunity to showcase our kids, and hopefully that builds for the high school program in the next few years. But they got to be enrolled in Caldwell County Schools. They need to get a sports physical. For sure. When you do all the paperwork, we practice every day. if the heat doesn't get us, yesterday we were inside doing a lot of board work. Today we hopefully are on the field. But we practice from 3 to 5 because the assistant coaches, they have daytime jobs, and it's hard for them to get there in the mornings, which we would rather do that, but I understand. So we kind of mix our times up. Yeah. So we're going to start that.
Well, good luck to you guys this season. And like I said, hopefully some more kids will come out as we get closer to school time.
That sounds good, Todd. Thanks for the opportunity, and I'll get you a schedule soon.
All right, appreciate it.
All right.
That is Caldwell County Middle School football coach Steve Cookie Hicko. Ed Marlowe from the Edge Media Group has joined us in the studio, and we'll talk with him when we continue right after this timeout here on the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Enjoy breakfast, lunch, or dinner at Big John's Barbecue. Be sure to like and follow them on Facebook.
From the Weather Edge Weather Center, mostly sunny skies today with a high near 92 degrees. Clear skies tonight, overnight low 67. Sunshine and hot for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Tomorrow's high 97. 98 for Saturday and Sunday. Once again, our forecast today, sunshine with a high near 92.
At Goodwin Insurance, they select their insurance companies the same way you do, very carefully. When you work with the agents at Goodwin Insurance, you can count on receiving fast, courteous professional service with quality protection. You deserve someone that provides comprehensive coverage and is working alongside you in your community. Contact them today for a quote.
Goodwin Insurance of Princeton, Cadiz, or Marion, or online at insurewithgoodwin.com.
Fish not biting for you? Head to Willow Pond in Eddyville. The fish is always fine. Catfish or cod, fried or grilled, maybe it's shrimp or frog legs you're craving. They've got that too.
Excuse me, announcer guy? I'm not really a fish lover.
No problem, ma'am. You'll find lots of other choices like chicken, burgers, even steaks and salads, and homemade cobblers for dessert.
Perfect. Thanks, Mr. Announcer Guy.
You're welcome, and ma'am, my favorite part is the beans and hush puppies.
Willow Pond of Eddyville on Highway 62, Eddyville, Kentucky. Like them on Facebook.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY. Thanks for tuning in this morning. While most of us were sleeping this morning, Emma Talley was actually on the golf course over in France and shot a 1 under par 70 in the first round of the Amundi Evian Championship, which is a major on the LPGA Tour. At one point, she made the turn at 3 under and had a share of the lead momentarily, but 1 under. And Ed Marlowe from the Edge Media Group joined us. Ed, really rough gig this week for them playing in Evian Le Bon, France.
Oh, yeah, that's tough. I just can't imagine having that experience or that I mean, you're in Europe,
yeah,
for crying out loud. So you caught me in the middle of a whistle stop, like donut hole and a cup of coffee. I'm telling you, I could sing their praises. I could do an advertisement for them. Their donut holes are totally worth driving all the way from Murray to Princeton for. So
they're our neighbors.
Right, exactly. They're right next door. And I'm not here to talk to you. I was here to get donuts.
Okay, well, so. I'm glad you showed up, though. I'm glad you came in the studio and talked to us. You know, I've been tickled all week because I didn't know until now, even though Emma's played in this tournament before, that Evian Le Bon in France is located on the Lake Geneva shoreline.
Yeah, she couldn't be in a much more beautiful part of Europe, quite frankly.
I always think of Smoke on the Water by Deep Purple. The only other time I've heard Lake Geneva shoreline is in Smoke on the Water. So
there was a time that I could actually play that chord.
Really?
Because, it's like a basic chord, but I have since lost that ability. I had very little ability to begin with, and guitar was certainly never a strong suit for me.
And I'm such a music and map and sports geek that I actually had to look it up on the map, and it's a 45-minute drive from Evian Le Bon to Montreux, which is mentioned in, Smoke on the Water.
So. Okay. All right. See, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, you're aging yourself just a little bit here on this. Smoke on the Water is incredible. Yeah. It's a great song, but I didn't even know the lyrics like you know the lyrics. So I just know the amazing power chord that comes with the open of it.
Hopefully there will be no stupid with a flare gun that sets anything on fire, and there will be no smoke on the water.
But. Right, exactly. She'll get to be able to. Hopefully, she gets to finish out. Did she finish her second round?
Yes, she finished 1 under 70.
Okay,
which was about 26th, I think, the last time I checked.
She is having a terrific year, quite frankly. I mean, she had the technically what it was called a couples tournament, I would think,
but team competition
where she played well, and she's just had an incredible year, quite frankly, since January.
You know, she's won over $1 million on the LPGA Tour.
I don't think I've earned over $1 million in my entire career as a reporter. I know I haven't, as a matter of fact. That's phenomenal.
And it would be nice if she could win this week, because the winner's prize this week is $1 million. So this is a good week to put it all together.
Todd, let me ask you this question. You've already brought up a great point that's just kind of jumped into my mind. You know Caldwell County sports history as well as anyone that I know. Has there been a more successful professional
come out of Princeton over the years than Emma Talley? Is she the? I'm just asking. I'm not trying to. I'm showing a little bit of my ignorance here, but is she the most successful professional to come out of Princeton so far?
Here's the thing: Greg Smith owns an NBA championship ring with the Milwaukee Bucks.
That's.
Yeah. Played with some guy named Lou Alcindor. Oh. Don't know what happened to that guy.
I think he changed his name.
Yeah, Oscar Robertson. Those guys, there was a pretty good team in Milwaukee back in 71, 72, I think was the year.
It's funny, I actually bought an Oscar Robertson basketball card the other day. I needed to own the piece of history.
I actually went to the National Baseball Card Show in St. Louis one year, and that's been 20-something years ago, I guess. I guess I was probably the only person there that was going from table to table looking for Greg Smith cards.
Did you find any?
Yes, I found a bunch. I've actually got a bunch of Greg Smith cards.
Well, see, that's phenomenal. But you needed that piece of history. But that's incredible to put. You can really put Emma Talley near the top as one of the most successful, if not the most successful, Princetonians in athletics.
But here's kind of maybe this is where my fascination with sports history started. I remember being little. And being downtown with my mom and going into a store, and she bought me some basketball cards. Well, being the sports geek that I am, you know, I would look at the cards and read the backs. I mean, who reads the backs of cards?
Oh, I read the backs of cards.
Yeah. So I'm looking at these cards.
I'm with you there, man.
And I've got this card by some guy named Greg Smith from the Houston Rockets, and I turn it over, and it says, from Princeton, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Princeton, Kentucky? So that's kind of where I kind of... That's where I learned of Greg Smith, and then, you know,
you
the whole Smith family and all of that. And, of course, they say Dwight would have been a star in the NBA if, you know, things had turned out differently. But, unfortunately, the wreck, we lost him and his sister. But
right.
Greg went on and won an NBA championship. So,
which is phenomenal. If I'm not mistaken, wasn't Murray State's Dick Cunningham on that same Milwaukee team?
Maybe, yeah.
I'm almost certain that's... accurate. I'll Google that in the break, but yeah, no, if you really think about it, and here's the crazy thing, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't that the last Milwaukee championship until Giannis won it?
I think so. Okay. Yeah,
because they hadn't won in 50 years.
You know, I would have cheated and looked all this up if I've known that's where we were going this morning. But good topic, though.
I can Google it in the break for sure.
Yeah, we need to get to a timeout here on the Sideline Report, so this will give Ed a chance to look up some information. We'll come back with more on the Sideline Report after this here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Brantley Furniture, family-owned and located in the heart of downtown Princeton. Jeannie and Megan invite you to come in and check out their selection of furniture, bedding, and gifts. Financing is available.
From the Weather Edge Weather Center, mostly sunny skies today with a high near 92 degrees. Clear skies tonight, overnight low 67. Sunshine and hot for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Tomorrow's high 97, 98 for Saturday and Sunday. Once again, our forecast today, sunshine with a high near 92.
Need cash fast? Contact ABC Finance now.
Whether it's their first day of kindergarten or the first day as a senior in high school, you want your kids to have everything they need.
Don't let money worries stop you. Visit ABC Finance.
Hi, this is Savannah Seymour at the Princeton ABC Finance location.
And this is Todd Morris at the Hopkinsville location.
We can help you with all the things your child will need for school.
At ABC Finance, we provide loans up to $15,000.
We are locally owned and staffed, and decisions are made quickly, usually within an hour.
No appointment is needed. Walk-ins are welcome.
You can even give us a call, and we will take your application over the phone.
Or apply online at abcfinanceonline.com.
Our commitment is to make the loan process quick, easy, and stress-free. We can even consolidate all loans into one easy payment. For more information and for great money and credit tips, like ABC Finance on Facebook.
All loans subject to normal credit approval.
The Sideline Report continues here on 1580 103.3 WPKY. Thanks for tuning in this morning. Ed Marlowe of the Edge Media Group is in the studio with us, and Ed, you were able to do a little research during the break and found out some interesting stuff.
Yeah, I was right. Lou Alcindor, of course, being the tallest player on that team at 7'2", but it was Dick Cunningham, Hall of Fame center for Murray State, did play for that Milwaukee team, and Princeton's Greg Smith, listed at power forward at 6'5", for that championship team. So that's pretty phenomenal. Just that connection alone, yeah, locally in Western Kentucky.
And maybe some younger people don't recognize the name Lou Alcindor, but he did go on to fame as
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah. Yeah, those Showtime Lakers teams, for my money, still some of the best teams ever. I think they would match up with any of the teams in the NBA today.
I think historically, and I mean, if you take a look, HBO's Winning Time, which is certainly not safe for work, but is a really good, what I would consider to be a, I guess, a good dramatization of what those Showtime Lakers were. That brings it into picture for me. I mean, I grew up with a Magic Johnson of 90, 91, 92. You know, and then, you know, the HIV situation with Magic Johnson. So that's what I grew up with. I was 5 years old in 1990. By the time Jordan retired, I was just coming into what it means to be a sports fan and a collector and understanding, like, kind of the sports world. And so Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Patrick Ewing, they were getting ready to retire. Hakeem Olajuwon, so on and so forth. That's who I grew up with, like, seeing on television for the first time. Charles Barkley. The list goes on and on. But, the Showtime Lakers, I think it's you look at their pace of play, they certainly would have fit pretty well in what the NBA is now, plus the three-point shot.
I don't think there's any doubt that players are probably better physical specimens today. But when I go back, my first favorite NBA player was Dr. J, and it's not even close. I mean, he was like the guy, and not just because he was a great player, but he had such style and
charisma.
Flair. Yes, and I think of all those other guys back then that everybody sort of had their own style of play, and it was fun to watch. And then Magic came along, and Larry Bird came along, and Michael Jordan came along, and that was just a fantastic time for basketball.
Well, it revitalized basketball, I think. I mean, not that basketball was in a bad place, but there's a lot of historical context out there that tells you that the NBA was kind of languishing in certain parts. Now, all across the country, most teams, even if they aren't very good, they've got a star player. They've got a power magnet core of individuals that fans can fall in love with, and that's because the NBA is so replete with talent. Some of that talent coming from Murray State and Ja Morant in Memphis, but it revolves even more. That's the young. You've got Luka Doncic. You've got Devin Booker. You know, of course, John Calipari in UK have been pumping out star after star after star, and it just goes on and on. But the NBA, in my opinion, is in a great place because you have so much young talent. And I know a lot of kids are watching the game right now.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580, 103.3 WPKY, Princeton, Kentucky. Ed, wanted to talk to you this morning a little basketball. We kind of got sidetracked a little bit. Or football, I'm sorry. We got the basketball, but there was still some great conversation. So it was fantastic. But football, how do you see the Class 2A First District kind of breaking down this year?
I wrote for Cat's Paws for football this year for Class A, 2A, and 3A, and I'll be doing the same thing for the first and second region for basketball this year, I do believe. But you take a look at... It's gonna be tough, and I know it's always this word. I'm fixing to say a word. I say a city's name. Mayfield is gonna be very, very good, and I've had that iterated to me by multiple individuals across different avenues. It isn't just coming out of Mayfield. Coach Barnes has even told me that, you know, there's two or three guys on Mayfield's team that they're. You got to circle them. You know, these are, you know, Jatarius Starks is really the one that comes to mind. Two-way player who has a chance to be really devastating at running back this year. And so, you know, this is a team that, you know, made the Final Four last year. Beachwood kind of knocked them around a little bit. They returned most of those guys. Mm-hmm. And so when you return most of your guys from a team that was pretty devastating last year and flipped a loss to Murray into a dominating win in the playoffs against the Tigers – the Murray Tigers. Yeah. You've got a chance to be really good. So again, I'm not gonna. It's early. It's the middle of July. You've got workouts for the next 6 weeks. I know Caldwell's gonna be good. I know Murray's gonna be good. You know, I know Mayfield's gonna be really good. I'm gonna put the really in front of that. I don't know how that lineup shakes up. And again, any given night, that's why you play the game. But I know Mayfield. And again, I've said this once, and I'll say it again. Mayfield having gone through so much devastation this year, Princeton, of course, experiencing some of that same old devastation as well, that same experience with that terrible tornado. What I will say, I know it's such a bitter rivalry between Princeton and Mayfield, but I hope in that game And I hope in those experiences that families can come together and heal and play a great game of football.
Well, and you talk about Mayfield being the team in the district. I think that's fair. I think Mayfield has earned that right through the years. You know, they've been the team. I mean,
they just returned so much. This isn't like it was a couple, two or three years ago where people felt like they could have their number because they're so young. They're not young now. You've got an older Zane Cartwright. You've got an older receiving core. You've got an older offensive line. You've got an older defense, an older Jax Rogers. Like, those are guys that have just been building and building and building. This is the moment I think they feel like at least, and I feel like they can seize.
Well, and I feel like Murray will be solid again. Those guys are going to be well coached, and they're going to do what they do. And
triple option.
Yeah, you try to stop it if you can.
Sure.
You know, Caldwell County the first time last year was able to stop them a little bit. It's not about shutting them down. It's just about getting some stops. And in the matchup in the playoff, it seemed like Murray was able to dictate things, and they got a blocked punt that kind of got them ahead. And
It's the little things.
Yeah, when you're
like
playing
that.
A team like that, you want to play in the lead and make them try to catch you. If they get the lead, well, then they're just going to bleed the clock and just, you know, they methodically wear you down.
Minimize. I think it's honestly there's college football teams, there's NFL teams that play that way, where you milk a clock, you limit your mistakes, and you don't take a ton of chances. And if you have a stout offensive line, if you'll block with a fullback or play a wing T, that benefits you, and that's just part of it. That's a fair game plan and an old school way of playing football, and I don't hate it. I mean, yeah. I like a good slugfest. I'm a big fan of defensive shutouts and things like that, because in football, that's extremely difficult to do now that we have spread offense.
Well, this brings up another point of contention with me, I think, because the thing I love about football is you can play so many different styles and be successful.
You can.
And to me, that was always a hallmark of all sports. But we've gotten to the point now where we want to change every sport to make everybody play exactly the same way, and it doesn't have to be that way. You know, in football, if you want to throw the ball 60 times, knock yourself out. If you want to run the ball every play.
Caldwell won a lot of football games throwing the ball 60 times.
That's what I'm saying. There's a lot of different ways to win a game, and none of them are wrong. I mean, if it works for you, great. And it's those contrasts that, to me, make sports fun, but it seems like every time they change a rule, it's to make everybody, like the NBA or basketball. They want to make everybody run up and down the floor. And I don't want to see stall ball. I don't want to see somebody, you know, put the ball on ice for 10 minutes.
You're not a fan of four corners?
No, but I would like everybody to have, you know, 45 seconds to run an offense and look for a good shot. And, you know, not everybody has to run up and down the court and be the Showtime Lakers. You can be deliberate, and it's still basketball.
Half-court offense. I mean, there's a difference between half-court offense and full-court offense, and you need to be able to execute both, and I think that's a fair assessment.
I think we're turning baseball into who can hit the most home runs.
The fact that they're getting rid of the shift, peeves me. I was going to use a different word. Infuriates me. I absolutely, and I'm maybe you talked about this earlier with with Mr. Van Hooser and so on and so forth, but I just don't. I can't, and Bryce, but I can't. Like, you can't get away from the shift. And I mean, I'm complaining about something that's actually just going to happen. They're going to get rid of the shift in Major League Baseball. I hate it. You want to get rid of the shift? Why? Learn to bunt. You know, learn to slap a single to the left side. Like, I'm just not a fan of that. I like the shift. I like the fact that a shortstop, if he feels like he needs to defend behind his second baseman, go for it. That's your call. That's your decision. And then if you get burned for it, then you made a bad choice. And that takes away gamesmanship, in my opinion, to get away with the shift.
You've got to have a pitcher on the mound. You've got to have a catcher behind the plate. Your other seven guys should be able to go anywhere in fair territory that they want to set up defensively.
Absolutely. Totally agree.
But what happens if it's a late game
situation? You can set up anywhere on football as long as you have five guys on the line.
Right. What happens in a late game situation if you want to bring an outfielder in and have that fifth infielder because, you know, the winning run's at third, there's less than two outs, you're trying to cut down that run? Can you not do that anymore? Do you have to play guys? I mean, does the defense have to ask the offense, hey, where do you guys want us to play so that you can hit it?
Well, and why can't a baseball team, let's just take Billy Hamilton, for example. I'm a huge Reds fan. Now he's with the Chicago White Sox as a rotation player. Billy Hamilton, regardless of his offense, is one of the best outfielders in Major League Baseball the last 10 years, just based on speed and athleticism alone. Why not put two Billy Hamiltons with equitable speed in left field and right field, let them try to cover center, and bring that fifth guy in?
Yeah.
You shouldn't be penalized for that. I totally agree.
Yeah. So we kind of went down a bit of a rabbit hole there.
We never go down rabbit holes.
Getting back to football a little bit, as far as Caldwell County goes, I was going to say, I think the Tigers are in a pretty good situation again this year, kind of like I thought they were last year, because I think the general thought last year was that Caldwell had lost a lot and they'd be fortunate to win 4 or 5 games, and they went 7-4 and had a really good year. I think they're in the same situation this year, that I've already seen some things. Oh, well, they lost so much, they'll struggle. I don't know that they will struggle that much. I think they will have some times, maybe early, where they struggle in some situations, but it was like last year. If you watched the Tigers the first 2 or 3 games, you would have thought, well, yeah, maybe it is going to be a rough year, but they figured out ways to win, and a lot of that last year was leaning on the defense and that defensive front. I think this year they're going to need the offense to put up a few more points, but it doesn't matter if you win a game 45-40 or 15-10. It's still a win.
Well, so. And here's the thing too, Todd. You bought me just enough time. I was looking up their schedule. 4 games are already on the schedule as we speak, with Mayfield. You're at Mayfield, at Fort Campbell, and at home against Murray, and at home against Trigg County, which are, you know, obviously all classic games. District and the 139 rivalry is always phenomenal. Trigg's going to be fun this year, I think. You know, Kelsey Parham, they're going to be a lot of fun under second year coach Chris Ezell. And so it's, it's going to be really fun to see how it all shakes out. Remind me, what's the rest of Caldwell's football schedule look like? Is that confirmed yet?
Yes, Caldwell County starts at Christian County.
That'll be fun.
We'll go to Madisonville, North Hopkins, okay, and then host Hopkinsville in week 3.
That is a really fun start to the year.
And then I believe Crittenden County shows up in week 4. So.
Okay. Second year for, I believe, Gage Courtney as head coach. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. So you're taking a look at this situation. Man, what a fun start to the year. If you're Caldwell County football, if you're willing the guys, I'd be pumped. You know, I'd be super pumped to have that much excitement. Those games all front load your schedule. If that doesn't get you fired up for August and early September, I'm not sure what will.
Well, and then you have the district coming up. You've got Ballard and Fort Campbell, Murray and Mayfield. The Trigg game is in there, like you said. I'm leaving somebody out, but I can't remember who right now. But
Fort Campbell changed head coaches. That continues to be a tough situation. They ended their season on a strong note last year. And then Ballard Memorial, obviously going into the second year under their head coach.
Oh, Union County is the other team.
Oh, yeah, so another great rivalry. And Union's going to be really good. No surprise there. I mean, Cannon Sheffer, I named him preseason 3A District 1 Player of the Year. We know how tough 3A is going to be this year with Paducah Tillman returning literally almost everybody on their roster that pushed for a state title game. But Union's going to be really good, and I say that and didn't even mention Chris Hughes. What a great schedule for Caldwell County football.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
It should be fun.
Yeah.
That's the point. Yeah. That's how it's got to be. But no, I mean, hearing Steve talk about how the eighth graders might come in and help, or the ninth graders now can come in and help, you know, Caldwell County. I would have to think, can you go 7-4 again against this schedule?
Just depends on how you get off to the start. I think the Christian County game to start is a toss-up.
It can be.
I think Madisonville is a toss-up. I don't think Hopkinsville is out of reach, but they've still got Deshaun Mercer.
Yeah.
And that guy's really good.
And Mark Clark's back.
Yeah.
To coach the Tigers.
So they're going to be really good. But
and you got to remember, and I say this, people need to remember, Hoptown and Christian County, I think, no matter what their records are this year, by the end of the year, they're going to be smarting for anyone, but even especially at the start, this is the final year for them,
yeah,
you know, before they consolidate. And so every time Christian County and Hopkinsville step on the field, they're going to want to send their best effort because this is the last time they're going to put on that specific uniform. So people need to remember that when they're watching those games.
And Caldwell starts with scrimmages against Owensboro Catholic and then Owensboro High School, so those are two solid opponents.
Oh, those! You buried the lead. That's two terrific. That's two terrific scrimmages right there. That's two teams that could be second, third round playoff material. And Owensboro is the favorite in their district this year for 5A.
But I think people saw those results last year and went, "Well, Caldwell's going to have a horrible season." But I think all those things helped Caldwell. I think playing the tough scrimmages. I think opening with Christian County and Madisonville and Hopkinsville. That's what set Caldwell up to have the great season that it had. I just think they were kind of battle-tested and hardened through those games, and they really made a big leap from where they were before the season started to where they were the third or fourth week of the season.
I think that's also a fair assessment. I mean, when you play tough scrimmages, you're typically prepared for the best of the best of the best, and Owensboro and Owensboro Catholic, they're going to be solid this year. So I know one of the beat reporters up that way, and he's talked them both up a lot over the last few weeks. They're going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Should be a great football season. Can't wait for it to get started. Ed, I appreciate you coming over and being on the show today. Glad you could get some donuts on the way in.
Oh, yeah. I got 24 donut holes. I got 24 donut holes thinking that Tate and Bryce were going to take a few with them, but they, you know, they actually play sports.
Yeah.
And they try to treat their bodies as well as possible. So I want to go ahead and just say on the record, they declined donut holes from Whistle Stop as they prepare for their baseball stops. So, smart kids, good kids. I've watched them play a decent amount of baseball in my career, and look forward to seeing what they do at their next ventures.
Yeah, again, thanks for coming over and being on the show. I really appreciate it.
Anytime.
That is Ed Marlowe of the Edge Media Group. Thanks to Steve Kukihiko, Caldwell County Middle School football coach, for dropping by today. Also, Tate Van Hoosier and Bryce Thomas, former Caldwell County Tigers. Enjoyed talking some baseball with them this morning. That's going to wrap up a busy sideline report for this Thursday morning. This is Todd Griffin of WPKY Radio and your SportsEdge.com. Thanks a lot for being with us here on 1580 103.3 WPKY. WPKY. Princeton!